All right, if you would, 161, 161. This all Stan was saying, the Comforter has come. 161. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we know that when He leads and guides us, Lord, we can do and accomplish things for you. We pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, in our service this morning. Speak to hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be open-minded and pay attention to your word. Help us to focus, Lord, and learn something, Lord, that would help us, Lord, in our Christian walk in this world. Pray, God, you would bless every aspect of the service, that would bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Second song, let's turn to 421. Might be new to 421.
From the fold, who bear the message of Christ. All right, we have a schedule change, and I want to let you know about that. Again, it's in the bulletin, but the service will begin at 9:30 as usual. That'll always be the same, 9:30, and then at 10:15, when we're supposed to end, somebody didn't end on time this morning. I don't know who that was. Can you believe this? Rule breakers all the time. At 10:15, when we're supposed to be done, the men will go to the Chinese ministry room, and we will have a little time of prayer and fellowship. It was good today. We started for the first time. And so slip in whenever you get here, guys. And no women are allowed. It's just all men. Sorry. You making a problem with that? It's still women's tennis and men's tennis. It's still men's sport and women's sport. Anyway, never mind I said anything about that. And so it's a good time for us to... We are here not that much each week. And the way things are spread out now, we're far apart. Gas prices are kind of high. It wasn't high the other year, was it? It's high this year. So we want to try to maximize our time when we're at church. So hence a short time of men's fellowship and so on. And then next week, Sunday, is ladies' fellowship after the 10:30 service. And then, while that's going on, the men are going to have a chili cookout. She's excited. Chili cookout next Sunday. So while the ladies are having their fellowship, the guys are going to have the chili cookout. I'm going to make some chili. And there's going to be a prize for the best tasting chili. All right? Yeah, I make good chili. I have a secret ingredient or two. It is really good. I can take canned chili and make it taste good. So, chili cook-off next week Sunday, right here. Women are going to be back there for their ladies' fellowship. The men are going to watch a short video. It has to do with the resurrection. I know it's past Easter, but it's still okay. There's a video that we saw a couple of times at home, and I think I'd like to try to get that up and put it on a big screen over here, and while we're eating, watch that, or something similar to that. Okay? All right. Any questions about that? No questions, okay. Let's see. A couple of things to pray about. We're going to try to get some tracks out to fishermen along the dock in the harbor right here. And there's different... kinds of fishermen from different countries that can't get off the boat. But we want to get packets of tracks and literature for them to have, maybe even offer something else. And then we're going out to the intermediate school over at Corner McCoy. I got their leave classroom, leave school schedule. And the bell ends a certain time, 2:15. I was out there Friday, and the kids were taking tracks left and right. We want to get some tracks out to them. So pray about those things. If you cannot participate, pray for those that go out and do that. Okay, all right, that's about the announcements right here. And we have two people graduating from high school, Jake and TJ. We're going to graduate this month from high school. Am I right, this month? Or is it June? It is this month, it's the 18th.
May 19th,
okay. And then Jake, too, from Middle Island High School. So pray for these two young men. All right? Okay, I'm glad to see you in church today. And I say that all the time, it sounds kind of like, yeah, right, you just talk like a politician. But it is true. It is true. And I enjoy coming to church after I wake up, after I get going. I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy seeing familiar faces. I enjoy seeing new faces. I enjoy seeing not so handsome faces, too. It's just nice to be in church, really. I get tired of what I hear in the news. I get tired of the things in this world. I get tired of seeing people act up in this world. And it's nice to come to church and people at least a little bit decent. A little bit decent. And we try to get a little bit spiritual too by getting into the Word of God. All right, so I hope you have an interest to grow. I hope you have an interest to learn the Word. I hope you have an interest to grow further in your walk with Christ. And those are some of the core things that we're about. And even though we're very flawed people here, my hand is up. At least we're trying to go in the right direction. And so hope you want to grow too. Okay? And when people grow in the Lord, everybody benefits. And so, all right, pray for Brother Joe. He is going for surgery on his knee the 1st of May, around the 2nd. I think it's the 2nd. So pray for him. This is the 2nd surgery. First was on his back. Now it's his knee. So he needs prayer. Okay? All right?
Amen.
Okay. Just wondering if I'm in church. That's all. I was looking at a sporting event, and it's incredible the emotion to have at a sporting event. The winners, the losers, the emotions, the highs and the lows, and the cheering for a particular sport player, or it would be golf or tennis. It's just, to me, always amazing how they're uninhibited in their enthusiasm for sport. And I don't blame them for that, but I think it's good for us in church to sometimes have a little bit of enthusiasm, not contrived or made up, but you know, just, it's okay to make a little bit of noise. I mean, it's all right to be. Came in, and there was some donuts over there. It was just, it came from Liliha Bakery. Three different kinds. One had bacon on it. And somebody said, you gotta try that one. The bacon one. But it's cold bacon. I can't eat cold bacon. There's no eggs. There's no rice. Can't eat bacon like that on a donut. But the other donut's really good. And the coffee's really good as usual. I'm just saying it's good to be in church. Get away from the world a little while. And just kind of get some spiritual rest. Get some spiritual feeding. And have an enjoyable Sunday. After we're done today, I'm going to go home. Not that you asked, but I'm going to go home. And get ready to play tennis with the grandkid boys. And have a good time, and then take the night off. I'm going to enjoy that. Okay, you got a special here? I'm looking at the list here, Francis. It's one more song. Okay, good. I'm going to step out of the way. Mike's coming up to teach after that.
Rescue the Perishing, 432.
Rescue the pain.
Thank you. Very good, Sam.
All right. We are continuing in our alphabetical study of Bible topics. We are still on letter M. We looked at the millennium. We looked at missions. Today, we're going to look at our last topic for letter M, and that is going to be music. Music. I'm going to give you a lesson about music. Francis smiles. What am I going to talk about music? I'm not going to talk about what you listen to on your own personal time. I'm going to talk about music in the local church. That's what I'm going to talk about. I know that when it comes to music, you know, there was a big trend, I guess, like in the 80s and the early 90s about exposing backward masking and all of this stuff about satanic rock music and all of those things. That's not what the focus of my lesson today is. I'm going to talk about what is normally called worship music or music in the local church, and the type of music that I think is acceptable and unacceptable in a local church. There is a couple of things that set this church apart from most other churches on the island. You go to your typical non-denominational larger church on the island, and you'll see a couple of things that are different from this church. And one of those things is the Bible version, okay? If you've been around here for a little while, you know that we stick to the King James Bible exclusively.
Amen.
And there's another thing that sets our church apart, and that is the style of music that we sing and use in our worship services. You'll see that we sing out of the hymn book, the old hymns. A lot of other churches, they don't do that. They have more of a contemporary Christian style of music. Now, why is that? Are we just old-fashioned here? Are we just traditionalist? Or are we just ultra-legalistic? I mean, is it just a matter of preference? Or is it something a little bit deeper than that? It is deeper than that. Mm-hmm. It's not just a matter of preference that we use the King or believe the King James Bible. It's a matter of conviction. Mm-hmm. Okay, because we have studied the issue. We have compared the King James Bible to the other modern versions. We've done our homework. We've looked at manuscript evidence and the reason why there's differences and things like that. And it's the same with the style of music. And so that's what I'm going to go through here today. And if you don't understand exactly why, or you don't think it's a big deal or whatever, then hopefully after I get through this lesson today that you'll have at least a better understanding of where we are coming from. Even if you personally disagree with it, you will understand why we take the position that we take, and hopefully you'll respect it at least. So in a local church, there should be guidelines for the type of music that a local church has as far as congregational music. There should be guidelines. It should be spiritual music. It should be spiritual music. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, it talks about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. Not carnal. In the Bible, there is spiritual and there is carnal.
Right.
The music in a local church should be spiritual. It should not be carnal. It should appear to the inward man,
right,
not the flesh. You understand? It should be holy, not worldly. It should prepare the congregation and the participants and the listeners. It should prepare their heart for the preaching of the Word of God. Okay, it shouldn't be fleshly where it puts you in this mood to, you know, start jumping around and hopping around and exercising and all of that. It should speak more to your heart, not to your flesh. Okay, the Bible says spiritual songs. It should glorify God. In the Bible, many times when you look do a study of music in the Bible, music was meant to glorify God. You know, they're going to be singing in heaven. And then in heaven, when they sing, it glorifies God. Did you know in the book of Revelation, they actually sing about the blood of Jesus? By the way, a lot of the modern Christian music, that if you look at the lyrics, and then you look at the lyrics of like our hymns, there is a theological richness in the old hymns that is in a large part it is lacking in the modern Christian music.
Right.
The old hymns, they sing about the blood, they talk about the Savior and saving us from sin and His second coming and even saving us from hell, and there's doctrine. It's a theological richness that you don't find largely in the contemporary Christian music, where it's just watered down and shallow. It's kind of like the difference between the King James Bible and the New Bibles a little bit, if you think about it. I mean, there's a lot of similarities.
Right.
So music is in the Bible. It was accompanied by instruments, so perfectly fine to accompany your music with musical instruments. And then it should be done decently and orderly. The Bible says, "Let all things be decently and in order." And then it should be, of course, doctrinally sound. The Bible specifies an emphasis on sound doctrine. Now, that's just kind of a brief introduction. What about modern worship music? Modern worship music, okay? There are many styles of music that are advertised as Christian, yet, in my opinion, do not meet the above guidelines that I just listed, the criteria. In recent years, the Christian music scene has basically exploded with all kinds of different styles of music imaginable. Anything from rap to heavy metal to hard rock to punk to speed metal to anything you can think of. The Christian, I say very loosely, generally speaking, the Christian music industry has exploded with all types of different music that you can think of. And a lot of these music styles that were once considered worldly and ungodly can now be found in your local Christian bookstore.
Right.
Many Christians have been deceived into believing that this music is an acceptable alternative to secular music simply because it's promoted as Christian music. And it goes beyond that. Now, that was just for personal enjoyment and listening. But now many churches have incorporated various styles of music in their worship services, and they have abandoned the old hymns that we sing. And they have traded that music or substituted for this new modern contemporary Christian music. Most modern Christian music falls under the category of this right here, what we call CCM, contemporary Christian music. And so contemporary Christian music is basically this modern, kind of more contemporary, some of it would be more like rock music, some of it would be a little bit softer than rock. Wouldn't really categorize all of it as rock music, but some of it is rock music. But it's more of this contemporary type of music that has infiltrated a lot of churches and Christian bookstores and things like that. And so the lesson that I'm going to give you today, I'm going to give you some main reasons why I believe that CCM, contemporary Christian music, should not be used as worship music in a local church. And I will say that what I'm going to say, these are general observations. I understand that there are exceptions to what I'm going to say. So what I'm about to tell you about this movement and some of these things and examples, I understand that not every single artist, not every single song that falls under the category of contemporary Christian music is going to fit this description or is going to be represented like this. I understand there are exceptions. But I do want to tell you that these things I'm going to tell you, generally speaking, it is applied to CCM as a whole. Okay? I understand there are exceptions. I also want to tell you that everything that I'm going to say has been documented. I have documentation. I can furnish you the sources. These are not just, I'm not misrepresenting CCM. I have done my homework. I've researched this. I've experienced it firsthand. I was brought up in churches that use this music, and for many, many years, even as a Christian. So I have experienced it firsthand. I have researched this. I have references after the service. If you want, I challenge you. If you say, you know what, that statement that you said about that, I want to see proof. I want to, okay, I'll email it to you, okay? I will furnish you the information if you want documentation or citations for what I'm about to say. Okay, so number one, I would say that CCM, contemporary Christian music, it should not be used in a local church because it is worldly. It is worldly. Why do I say that? I say that because CCM, they borrow their rhythms from worldly music. From worldly music. When I first got saved, I went to a Christian bookstore. I wanted to study and get some good books and learn about the Word of God and all of those things. And they had a music section with where the CDs were. And I went and looked at that. I said, well, okay, what's all this? Christian music. And you know how they categorize the Christian music? I kid you not. They had names of secular music groups. And they were saying, if you like this particular rock group, then you'll like this category because that's the style of music. And the type of rock bands that they had was like, really, some of it was really hard rock, heavy metal. I mean, AC/DC and Iron Maiden and speed metal and Motley Crue and something just didn't seem right with that.
Yeah.
And I'm in there and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I thought as a Christian you're supposed to abandon this worldly stuff and you're supposed to try to change your lifestyle and all that, and now they're saying, oh well, if I like this music, well then here's a Christian alternative or a substitute to those things. And I thought, I don't know about that. Something just didn't seem right about that. So that is a first-hand experience how they do borrow their rhythms and their style from worldly music. Many CCM artists have unashamedly admitted that their music is influenced by worldly musicians. And I can give you the sources for that. They have been interviewed by Christian periodicals, Christianity Today, and some of these other magazines and things. And in the interview, they admit, oh, we were influenced by this group and this group and this group and this group, and they'll name all kinds of different worldly rock groups or pop artists or things like that. And they'll say, that's who influenced us. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that tell you?
Right.
If that's what influenced them, then that means that that's their style of music. They're listening to worldly music, and their Christian music is the same as the worldly music, but they just substitute the lyrics.
Yeah.
Now, not only that, they proudly admit that they regularly listen to secular rock music, not just that they were influenced. In fact, during their concerts, some of them will even play cover songs of secular rock groups. You're going to a Christian concert to hear Christian praise music, to worship God, right? And then they play a cover song of some other band that's non-Christian. Why would they do that? Many CCM proponents insist that their music is acceptable because of their Christian message, regardless of the music style. So I say, you know what? It's okay if the music sounds just like worldly music because the message is different. We're reaching people with the gospel. Are they really? Some of these songs, you listen to it, if you didn't know that it was advertised as a Christian artist, you would think it was just any other song on the radio. Some of these lyrics, they say they're singing about God and Jesus or something. It sounds like somebody singing about their boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's just very vague and generic, like, oh, you do this for me, and I love you, and they don't use the name Jesus. It's just like you're singing about your lover. You know, I mean, it's just like any other worldly music. It's just kind of smuggled in there. Again, I understand there. You're probably thinking, no, Mike, no, I listened to this or I've heard this, and they're talking about Jesus and God, and it's plain as day, and you couldn't mistake. Okay, yes, I understand there are exceptions. I'm saying, generally speaking, though, this is what you will find. The philosophy is incorrect on many levels. The philosophy that they have for their music. You understand, music itself without vocals, it creates a certain mood. And it creates a certain atmosphere depending on the style of the music and how it's played. That's just common knowledge. You know, movie producers, they spend a lot of money to license they have to pay for a license to use a lot of music and soundtrack. If they don't, then it's a copyright infringement. They could get sued. Okay, so they have to pay money in order to use somebody else's music for their movie, their production. Why do movies use certain types of background music and things in their movies? Why do they do that? They match it to the scene of the music, of the movie. If it's a horror movie, it's a scary movie, they use a certain type of music. It's real dark. Somebody's walking down the hallway. Somebody's walking up the stairs. It's real dark. And they have some real scary music. Why? Or it's creating some sort of suspense, right? Because that's how they want you to feel. So you can really feel what's going on in the movie. Oh, something scary is going to happen. Oh, I'm scared. Something's going to happen. There's a killer in the next room. He's hiding. Or a comedy. They have different types of music. So you can feel that it's more funny or whatever. Suspense, anything. Did you know the first movies that came out, you could not hear anybody talking in the movie? You ever seen some of these clips? Very old movies. Now they have captions about what's going on, but you can't audibly hear anybody talking in the movie. You know what you can hear, though? Music. All they had was music. That's all you could hear. And the music matched the scene. The music would influence you when you're watching the movie to influence your feelings about what the movie what was happening in the movie. Dance styles are matched with certain types of music, not lyrics. You understand? The music, the sound, the style of the music is much more powerful and influential than the words, the lyrics. Sometimes music, you can't even, you ever heard a song, you say, oh man, I like this song. I don't know what they're saying. I mean, this part, you know, it's a really catchy tune, and I like to, you know, it helps me exercise and stuff, but I can't understand what they're saying, but I really like this song. You see, the music is much more powerful than the lyrics. Dance styles are influenced by certain types of music. You don't have the same kind of music for square dancing and waltz and break dancing and slam dancing and head banging, okay? That's just common sense. And it's not the lyrics that puts you in the mood for that dancing. You ever heard of exercise music? You ever seen one of these promotions where they want to send you these discs that help you exercise and this diet plan and stuff, and they have music to go along with it, okay? Richard Simmons, Deal a Meal. You'll be sweating to the oldies and losing all that. Okay, what kind of music do you think they're going to have? You think it's going to be just slow classical music to get you in the mood to exercise? You ever seen one of some of these videos of these guys, they're out in this field wearing these, you know, extra tights, yoga pants, all this stuff, and they're all, come on, do it with me, go, let's go. And they have music. What kind of music is it? Obviously, it's not. It's energetic. It's upbeat, okay? Why? To get you in that mood. Exercise music is upbeat music. So it's the style of the music that creates the mood much more than the lyrics, not just the lyrics. Many prominent figures within the secular rock music industry. I'm not talking about Christian rock artists or contemporary. I'm talking about worldly, unsaved, worldly musicians. Many of them have gone on record, and they will say that it's not so much the lyrics, But the style of the music, particularly the rock beat, that communicates what the music is about. I'm not quoting a Christian writing a book against Christian rock music. I'm quoting secular rock musicians throughout history. That's what they say. It's not so much the lyrics. Most of the time you can't even understand what they're saying. They say it's the style of the music and the rock beat and the tempo and all of those things. They say that's what communicates what the music is about. Not only does CCM resemble worldly music, the artists themselves are worldly. Many of them. Many of them. How do I know that? Because I've done my homework. That's why. Many of them, if you look at them, they look just like their secular counterparts. They adapt the fashion and the style of the dress and everything. And a lot of the men, they look really feminine, you know, or they want to look like heavy metal rockers or something like that. They look just like their counterparts. Many of their groups and song titles, they have no biblical resemblance whatsoever. Some of these groups, the name of the Christian group doesn't even sound like it's something from the Bible. Why is that? I mean, who's kidding who? They want to blend in. Okay? They want to appeal to a mass audience. They kind of want to... they know that they want to market themselves toward a certain type of audience. And they want to smuggle that in and under the guise of Christian music. Something else. The atmosphere at their concerts resemble that of their secular counterparts. They'll have the strobe lights and the dance styles and everything else, and it doesn't look like a worship service. It looks like an entertainment center. Now these are at their concerts. I'm not talking about a local church, but some of these things they relate, and I'm going to tell you why. And then, did you know that some CCM groups, they perform alongside secular groups at the same events? They will have music events or concerts, and they'll have a CCM artist or a group, and then they'll also have a secular artist, and they will perform together or back-to-back. Why? I thought they were Christian. Should a Christian group be performing with worldly, non-Christian music groups? And I'm not talking like, oh, well, maybe it was classical music or something. Are you saying it's wrong to go to a symphony? No, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about this style of worldly music. That's what I'm talking about. Now, they violate the biblical commands of separation. What biblical commands? The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. If any man have, you know, love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verses like that. The Bible says in James, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In Ezekiel, it says, Ezekiel, the prophet, was reproving the nation of Israel, and he said, God said, my priests, they have not put any difference between the holy and the profane. They've blended them together. You know, the nation of Israel was rebuked because in the Old Testament, they were blending the temple worship with idolatry. They had the worship of God and the guidelines and the things that he instructed, and they brought in the world, idolatry, and they blended them together. And God said, no, you cannot. You cannot. The holy does not make the unholy holy.
Right.
What happens is the unholy makes the holy unholy.
Right.
If you have a glass of water and you put a little bit of dirt in there, it's dirty, it's tainted. But you have a glass of dirty water and you put some clean fresh water in there, does that make it drinkable now? No. See? It's the same with music. Same with music. Now, something else about CCM. It's ecumenical. Contemporary Christian music is ecumenical. What does that mean, ecumenical? Ecumenical, the ecumenical movement is something that promotes unity among Christian churches where you say, what's wrong with that? Shouldn't we all get together? Aren't we all one in the body of Christ? Yes, we are all one in the body of Christ. However, that's if you're saved, okay? Yeah. They do that where they believe in putting doctrinal differences aside. Oh, let's have this church, let's have a Baptist church and a Methodist church and a Catholic church and a Pentecostal, and let's all get together. And yeah, we disagree on this point, like salvation. Oh, we disagree on this point over here, like eternal security. Oh, we disagree on this about speaking in tongues. But let's not argue. Let's just put that aside and let's get together for the cause of Christ. And let's have this big crusade or whatever so we can reach our community with the gospel. And then once they get saved, then everybody's going to teach them something different.
Yeah.
And you know what they have at those events? As one of the attractions, what kind of music do you think they have there? You think it's hymns like we sing? Take a guess. What kind of music? Ecumenical. CCM is ecumenical.
Yeah.
It's ecumenical. It elevates unity above Bible doctrine. In fact, the Bible gives stern warnings against false doctrine. And placing unity above sound doctrine is not just unbiblical, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous. In their philosophy, they have stated that their music is used to bridge denominations together.
Yeah.
No, denominations should not be bridged together. I'm sorry, but if somebody is teaching false doctrine, I understand that different churches, you can have some differences here and there, and sometimes there's room for differences. But when those differences are fundamental doctrines, there is not room for that difference.
Right.
You're commanded to separate from that. You're not commanded to just, well, let's just agree to disagree and let's just get together and this and that. No, you're not. CCM, they play at ecumenical conferences. Like the example I gave, there are conferences where they have all kinds of different churches and different beliefs and things, including Roman Catholics. Okay? You ever heard of the Promise Keepers?
Mm-hmm.
That would be an example of this ecumenical gathering where you have these different, all kinds of brands and flavors of Christianity and religion and people who call themselves Christian, and they're not even sound on the doctrine of salvation. Well, if you teach salvation by infant baptism and works and praying the rosary and all of this stuff, that person's not even saved. And yet they would include those people together at these events, and CCM is played at places like that. It encourages Christians to put aside doctrinal differences for the sake of unity. In fact, their lyrics, CCM lyrics, often promote an ecumenical message. They will have lyrics like, break down the walls.
Yeah.
And they're not talking about the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
They're talking about the metaphorically, the walls of division.
Yeah. Yeah.
Within the church, within the body of Christ, because of doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Break down the walls. If you listen to their lyrics, they promote ecumenism. CCM largely is charismatic. What does that mean? The charismatic movement? The root word of charismatic is charisma. Gifted. The charismatic music. They put an overemphasis on spiritual gifts. Speaking in tongues and healing and they're slaying in the spirit. And we know that they are wrong on several of those points. CCM... What is the history? What is the root? How did it start? How did it originate? It originated in the Pentecostal church. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Contemporary Christian music started in the Pentecostal church. Amy McPherson, she's founder of the Foursquare Pentecostal Church. She first incorporated jazzy music into her church programs. Years later, it was popularized by what's called the Jesus Movement of the 60s and 70s. Remember the Jesus Movement? a lot of these hippies started getting saved, or supposedly getting saved. Now, in the 60s and 70s, yeah, there was a movement, and many of them, they genuinely got saved, which is a great thing. And so a lot of these hippies were getting saved, and there was these mass baptisms and things of people leading that, people like Chuck Smith, who founded Calvary Chapel. And so a lot of those guys, you know, the hippies at that time, they were big in the music scene, the rock scene, Woodstock, Monterey Pop Festival, and all of these other scenes and things. Did you go to one of those, Francis? Francis, we have some interesting conversations about music, but those guys, even though they got saved, what they did was they started playing Christian rock music,
right. And
it was called Jesus music, or Jesus rock is what it was called. And so then they started going to church, and they started bringing that type of music, that style, in the church, and they said, hey, this is wonderful. We're saved, but we can still play this music, and we can use our gifts for God and for the church. And so let's just start playing this Jesus rock music. And then some of the fastest growing churches, like Calvary Chapel, Hope Chapel, Vineyard churches, they trace their roots directly back to what was called the Jesus movement.
Right.
So many of the and those churches, they are charismatic, most of those. Most CCM artists, they are charismatic, and rightly so, because that's where it started. Think about this. Nearly all charismatic churches employ CCM during their worship services. Do you see a connection? How many of you ever been to a charismatic church? Raise your hand. Wow. Just a few of you. Just about every charismatic church has contemporary Christian music in their church service. Is there a connection? Well, listen to this. Many of them claim that Christian contemporary music ushers worshipers into the presence of God. How so? I told you that certain styles of music create a certain mood. You don't know much about charismatic churches. They think that emotions are a big factor in their worship services, because they put this overemphasis on the Holy Spirit, and many people mistakenly believe that when they have an emotional experience, they are being coached, they are being told that that is the Holy Spirit. They are experiencing the Holy Spirit. They are experiencing God. And many of these people are told that you need to go with it and be coached into speaking in tongues. And sometimes some of them go farther than that. Some of them, they get slain in the Spirit. Now, hold on. I am not saying that every single church that has contemporary Christian music goes to that extreme. Okay? I've been to churches where they had people being slain in the Spirit, supposedly. You come forward, they call you forward, come forward, you need a healing, you want more of God, you want more of the Holy Spirit, come forward. Okay, the usher, the pastor is going to put his hand on your head, give you a little encouragement, a little nudge, and down you go. And you're lying on the floor. You're out of it for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. Some people are convulsing. Just ridiculous. Like Benny Hinn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I've been to other churches where they had CCM in their church, but they did not practice that. In fact, they taught against it. Okay? So I understand that there's variations. Not everybody is to that extreme. But you will find a lot of churches that play CCM, regardless of how far they take it. Many of them, well, here's what they'll do. They'll have this song service. and they'll get everybody in the mood. Sometimes it's not real hard, jumpy stuff, and sometimes it is. But sometimes it's more emotional. And they say that during our music service, we like to give the Holy Spirit liberty so people can exercise their gifts. What are they talking about? Okay, in plain language, here's what they mean. They mean that they want to get you all emotionally worked up during this music service because the music plays on your emotions and puts you in this certain mood, and then they want you to have this emotional experience and call it the Holy Spirit, and they want you to start people to start speaking in tongues and this and that, and a word of prophecy or a word of wisdom and all of these things, and they get all into this emotional state, and they call it the moving of the Holy Spirit. Now, they have gone on record, and they have said that CCM, it ushers worshipers into the presence of God. That's what they mean. They want to prime you. They want to prep you for what they believe is going to be the Holy Spirit. Some charismatics even boast that miracles occur during their praise and worship services. Oh, we were singing this song and so got healed, and this guy this and this guy that when we were playing this song. You ever heard of the Holy Ghost hokey pokey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you go home, go on YouTube and type in Holy Ghost hokey pokey. I'm serious. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was satire at first. When I saw the title, I said, what? This is a play on words. You know, sometimes pastors, they come up with these sermon titles that were kind of humorous, or it's a play on words, and it means something different than what you first think it would be. I thought, okay, maybe that's what this is. This praise and worship team in church got up, and they said, you know, last time we sang the Holy Ghost hokey pokey, and this happened, and so many people got healed, and this happened, and this happened, and he turns to the musician, he says, can we do that? Can you guys play that song? And the praise and worship team, we can do that. Spontaneously, yeah. And they start playing, and I thought, what? And they started doing it, kind of upbeat and dancing around, and the pastor starts dancing, moving his head like a chicken. You know, this real cool type of, you know, bro dance. And they said, you put your right foot in, you put your right foot out. You put your left foot in, you do the hokey pokey, and that's what it's all about. And they were singing hokey pokey. I kid you not. Hundreds of people in the congregation, just as serious as anything else. And they started singing hokey pokey. You do the Holy Ghost hokey pokey. That's what it's all about. And then they started getting faster and faster, and then they went into this emotional frenzy, and the drummer's just... the keyboard, and they're just playing super loud. And everybody's jumping and screaming in the congregation. And at that point, it's not even the hokey pokey song. It's just noise. And they're jumping and screaming and clapping. And then afterward, people are coming up giving a testimony. Pastor, when they were playing the Holy Ghost hokey pokey, I got healed and this and this and that. And they're giving their praise reports and their testimonies because they supposedly got healed. And all of these miracles happened because they... saying the Holy Ghost, that is just, that. You know what that is? That's about as close as blaspheming the Holy Spirit as you can get.
Right. Amen.
That is just pure garbage.
Yeah.
That is heresy. Now, that's an extreme example. But you know what I've noticed through the years and the research I've done? I've noticed that once a church abandons the older spiritual songs and goes for the contemporary Christian music, they start heading in a certain direction.
True.
And it doesn't stop there with the music. It ends up that they change the Bible versions, then they change their evangelical strategy, and they change this and this, and they get softer on their standards and everything else. Is it the cause or the effect? I'm not sure. Maybe both. Does that style of music cause the spiritual decline, or were they already in a spiritual decline and so that's why they adapted that music? It could be a little bit of both. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. What I'm saying is, these things that I'm telling you, here's what they do. They justify using that music, and here's one of their excuses. They say, well, we're using this music to reach people. We're using this music to appeal to the unchurched crowd, because if somebody that normally doesn't want to come to church, and then they come into church and they hear this type of music that they're accustomed to and appeals to them, guess what? They'll want to come back and they'll want to come to church. And so we're appealing to more people so we can reach them with the gospel. Did you know in the Bible music was never used as an evangelistic tool?
Right.
Nobody in the Bible ever used a particular style of music to reach people with the gospel. You know what they used to reach people with the gospel? The gospel.
That's right.
The Bible. The Word of God. The preaching. The Bible says in these last days God has manifested His Word through preaching.
Right, right.
Preaching, preaching, preaching. Not music. Preaching. You say, but people, they won't be interested. They won't want to come to church if we don't have that type of music to accommodate them. Oh, well. Oh, well. Should we compromise? Should we lower our standards? Should we bring the world into the church in order to attract the world? You know, there's a very profound saying. It says, what it takes to win them, it takes to keep them. Okay? If you use entertainment to reach people, then you're going to have to keep entertaining them to keep them. Because if you use the bait and switch approach where, oh, we kind of want to trick them. We don't want them to think that we're just this old-fashioned church and all we're about is the Bible. We want to trick them with something. We want to use something that appeals to their flesh. And so we want to trick them. And then when we get them in here, then we give them the gospel. And then all of a sudden they're supposed to change. No, that's not how it works.
Right.
In closing, I want to say this. I am not saying that hymns, the songs in one of these books, and there are many different hymnals, but most of them have basically most of the same songs. I'm not saying anything out that departs from this book in a local church is wrong. I'm not saying that. People come up and sing specials, and they're not singing something out of this hymn book. But you know what? The music, it should follow those different standards and things that I mentioned in my introduction. So I'm not saying hymns only. Anything that's not a hymn, it's wrong. No, you can have something that's not a hymn, but it's not CCM. And it adheres to the standards that there should be. What I will say, though, is that because some people, they'll argue this, they'll say, well, there are some songs from some CCM artists that are very... They're not the tempo and the beat and all of that. They're very, very modest and spiritual. And why can't we use those as well? I would say, well, I mean, theoretically, some of those could be acceptable. However, I think it's safe to just stick with the hymn book, okay? Because once you start, first of all, then you'd have to bring in something and teach everybody these new songs. And then some people, they say, oh, well, that song, what artist is that from? And then they'll go and they'll look at the artist. Oh, he has a CD. I like that song. I'm going to get his CD. And guess what? That's like the only acceptable song on the CD. And then the rest of it is the CCM stuff.
Yeah.
And then you're confused. Why is our church using that song? Because I thought that they were against the CCM and all this other stuff is rock music. And why are they using that song? Okay, so I think it's safe to use the hymnals. The Bible says, give none offense neither to the Jew nor the Gentile nor the church of God. Some of these people, the proponents of CCM and the artists and things, if they hear something that I'm saying, they say, I have liberty in Christ, and you're just being legalistic, and who are you to tell me this and this that? And they do not care that some people in the congregation could be offended at their music. They say, well, if you don't like it, that's your problem. That's some of the attitude of some. Listen, I've read the statements, I've read debates about this thing, and I'm telling you that that is the underlying attitude of a lot of people who promote CCM or people who are artists themselves. So, worship music should never be replaced by entertainment. It should never sound like worldly music. It should sound different from the world. And so that is the reason why we sing these songs. You say, yeah, but what if somebody comes to the church and they come from another church where they had that other music, and then they come in here and it's just so different and it's kind of dull and boring. And they don't have the five-piece drum set and the rock beat and all of that. By the way, I've been in a church where they sang hymns and they had drums. And it was acceptable. You know why? Because the type of the beat that they used, it was more like a marching band drum. It wasn't, you know, like the rock music. I've been to churches where they sang hymns and they had, I mean, up front, they had about 15 different people playing different instruments. I mean, it sounded wonderful. It sounded like a symphony. Drums and cymbals and violins and flutes and brass and strings and everything. It was great. It did not sound boring. It was lively. But you know what? In spite of all of that, the style and the way they sang it, it ministered and it spoke to the heart, not the flesh. But it was not dull. I kid you not. Now, there are some churches, I mean, it sounds like a funeral home. You go to some churches, they don't even sing. They're all like, and all you have is maybe an organ or something. I'm thinking, come on, sing. They don't even sing. I'll be perfectly honest with you. There are some songs in here that I don't even like. There are. But overall, I will say this. You ever had a fast food diet? Pizza Hut, McDonald's, all that junk for years, and then you want to start eating right, eating healthy, you start eating health food. It doesn't taste as good at first, does it? But once you acquire a taste for it and you realize how much better it is for you and you feel better by eating, switching to health food, all of a sudden you acquire a taste for it and you enjoy it.
Right.
And it grows on you. I would say if you're in that position where the other stuff is more appealing, I would say give it a chance. It's kind of like an acquired taste. But it's like switching from junk food to health food. It really is. And if anything, I hope you have an understanding of why we take this position. Because we want to do what's right and we want to be pleasing to God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you for music that you've used people throughout the years to write certain songs, to put together certain musical arrangements and things that glorify you. And I pray that we would not compromise on this position. I pray that people would understand why we have these convictions, because we do want to do the right thing. We're not trying to be legalistic. We're just trying to obey the Word of God, trying to be spiritual. We want to do what's honoring to you and also want to minister to other people. In Jesus' name, amen.